Good evening, everyone, if you are listening on the 9th of September 2021. We are here today, back at the Batmold podcast, for episode 64. Now, I've been saying this for actually quite a while, you know, maybe a month or two. Sorry for the episodes being late. I'll be back next week at this time, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be honest with you all. It's been a tough couple of months in terms of time, commitments. And if I'm being honest with you, I haven't felt, I almost felt like I was, at a point that I was at probably, you know, last year, you know, when I was kind of feeling like I was falling out of love with podcasting, and I don't mean falling out of love with it, but not feeling the same way, not feeling as passionate. And it was kind of down to like views and the amount of engagement was dropping, and you know, the engagement's still not there. But I realized and remembered that I'm doing this for fun, you know, and if people don't want to listen, people don't want to listen. If they do, that's a bonus. So, you know, and that's the situation. I'd also like to cast light on something that happened this morning. Unfortunately, locally, big part of the community, Neville Westerman, you know, always some banter, maybe a bit of controversial banter, big Forest fan, and also a friend of mine as well, passed away this morning. I got the message whilst I was in school, and yeah, unfortunately, you know, he passed away after an ongoing issue, and yeah, you know, and unfortunately, that's he didn't come out of hospital after those complications with his kidneys. And that's really all I have to say on that matter. It's unfortunate, but we all remember Neville Westerman, and you know, I know that me and everybody that listens to the podcast will remember Neville, and maybe just give, you know, a minute just to think about the life that we lost today. So, but off that kind of note, we are here to talk today, and we were meant to have guests, but unfortunately I had to postpone due to work and school. It's been a bit crazy, my first week back at sixth form, but recently I've been looking into, well, which is going to be the title or the subtitle of this podcast, which is corruption and lies. Now typically when you think of corruption and lies, you think I don't know, maybe some like James Bond kind of stuff, and you typically don't think, I certainly don't typically think of a Western country. Or I do now. My eyes have been opened a bit more, but typically you'd think of a foreign nation, maybe a poorer nation, where I don't know. You know, it's politics is maybe seen as a bit more of a looser kind of career. You know, people are being, you know, there's this kind of media focus on, I don't know, this king from here, was corrupt. And I think recently as well, maybe in the last couple of years, I think the former president of South Africa, I think his name is Jacob Zuma. It might not be South Africa, but he was arrested on corruption charges. So the media, of course, puts spotlight on that. But of course you do see it, but how often do you see it when it's a Western country that is, you know, being, there's an issue with corruption? How often do you see that? I just don't think you see that very often, which is a bit, I don't know, I think a bit strange, considering actually there's a huge amount of corruption in this country. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, corruption and lies, and specifically in the West. So as you know, corruption and lies is not just something that is in the East. It's not just something in the West. It's a global problem, and it has caused many issues. Of course, we know that, especially in COVID and in the UK government, billions of taxpayer money, may I just point out, over £30 billion worth of taxpayer money was given to Serco, which is run by friends of the Conservative Party, £30 billion. And also, whilst we're on that subject, as you know, the national insurance tax was increased by 1.5%, quite a large increase, which will impact a lot of people that are on not the rich side of society, that aren't retired and don't have millions of pounds, it's going to really affect them quite badly. And basically, this new rise in taxes to help the pay for the social health and care reform, in which we'll see, like, I think, pay caps and stuff on care, which, don't get me wrong, I'm all for, but we wouldn't need to tax people more to make 12 billion when we spent three times that amount on a test and trace system that didn't actually work and used spreadsheet. You'd think with 36 billion, you'd use a bit better than spreadsheet. I'm sure Microsoft isn't that expensive. That's just the way our government works, apparently. I mean, Boris Johnson said that he guaranteed that he would not raise national insurance. And he has. Now, some people aren't arguing about this situation, and they're just saying, well, we've got to increase tax so that we can pay for this. Of course we have to pay for this. Everything has to be paid for. Nothing's free. But why do we have to pay 12 billion for something in taxpayer money that you have to raise taxes for, when you could have actually used the 36 billion pounds that you gave to the test and trace system to partially fund the test and trace system for the NHS, or fully give all that money to the NHS, or give the majority of it to that and also put a bit of it into the social health and care reform. So therefore we wouldn't have to increase the national insurance tax as much. So I think there was always going to be an increase, but it's a case of, well, it could have actually been less of an increase, which would have benefited people more. And if people have got less money to spend, economies are going to be hurt. So, you know, if you're raising taxes, but you're not raising wages and other things like that, there becomes a big divide. And then people eventually are, you know, there's not as much money being spent out there, and businesses go downhill, and it kind of goes downhill from there. It's basic, really, of like how the economy works. But of course, you know, the healthcare system, it's at the heart of the country. But is this the way to do it? I don't think so. But what is the, why have I mentioned corruption, and why has this been mentioned in Corruption and Lies? Because arguably they're just raising tax to pay for it. And although whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant. Why is Corruption and Lies mentioned in this? The reason it's being mentioned is, where has the money that could have been spent on it gone? And that links to the Serco thing. It's gone there. 36 billion went there. You know, we gave, and this is not a rant about refugees or anything like that, but Priti Patel is going to give the French 54 million to stop, or what she thinks will stop people coming in on the dinghies, because she wants the French to stop them from going into the UK. I've heard that there was about 12 or 14 interceptions out of like however many hundreds of boats arrived in the last few days or week or whatever it was, the statistic. And then Priti Patel went to go and meet the ambassador, the minister in France, like threatening to not give them the 54 million. I mean, every single day you will scroll through on social media, and I can almost guarantee you will see a post, and I don't care how old you are, what generation you're brought up in, you have to see deeper than the surface, right? Yes, it is evident people are coming to this country illegally on boats and arriving on the shores. That's the surface. That's what you see. And then you also claim to see, basically these people are coming in and they're claiming money off the state, and they're taking all the money, and they're taking taxpayer money. But if we don't give these people an opportunity to work in this country, if it be permanent or ever, what do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to do? And this is where the lies part comes in. People are coming to this. So let's put the scenario in. War-torn country, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, wherever there is war. They will travel thousands of miles on a boat to come to the UK. And usually they are from countries that we have started a war in or removed people that are in power and caused great great, I don't know how to really word this, great kind of lawfulness almost. Because although, you know, we can all agree Saddam Hussein, evil man, you know, there was no real, after he was killed, what did we do? We didn't do a lot to help them establish a government, a safe government and a safe country. It was too late because then terrorists, you know, terrorism is a massive problem in Iraq. Massive problem. Terrorism in Syria, massive problem. And now you see Afghanistan, the Taliban, the people that we created, by the way, we created them, are now running Afghanistan. The people we created. And people say, oh, well, we shouldn't have withdrew from Afghanistan. We would have never had to have even been. Well, probably not. We may have had to been in Afghanistan, actually, but we wouldn't have had to withdraw and have the Taliban in government if we didn't just tackle the Soviet Union in a different way. There was different ways to do it diplomatically, but instead we wanted to pay somebody else to do it. A bunch of farmers. We armed them, we gave them weapons, we gave them money, used it. Soviet Union went, well, hey, great. Oh, wait, it's not so great now because these people want to run the country, but that's not part of the deal. Oh, so you're not going to agree to what we said? No, because we've got this many millions, billions in the bank. We've got this many weapons. Well, why should we listen to you? We could easily overrule you now. You've got less power than we do in this region. So now America and the US, now America and UK have withdrew. Taliban rule. Sharia law. You know, very strict religious law. And unfortunately, it's going to have a shockwave effect. Not only is women's rights going to be affected, and they already are being affected, but human rights in general being affected. And also, I think a lot of hatred will come from this, as it always does. Because it's the common saying of don't tar everyone with the same brush. But of course, because of the actions of a few militants, a group of militants who claim to represent the whole of Islam, which they don't, they absolutely do not. Because there is many, many people that I know, in fact, every single person that I know that is Muslim does not agree with what the Taliban do. In fact, I'll guarantee you that the huge, vast majority of Muslim people do not agree with what the Taliban are doing. They don't believe in that. They believe in rights for everyone. But we have allowed the Taliban to go and do that. We have allowed that. Us. But when you pay your money in taxes, you are not just paying your money in taxes. Don't forget that. Because war, you pay taxes, it's going to buy a few tanks, it's going to buy whatever. It's going to go and fund the destruction of countries across the world. It's going to go and fund an airstrike, which is going to go and kill 100 civilians. But, oh, wow, killed 4 terrorists. So there you go, win-win. 100 civilians, just 4 terrorists, and it's declared victory. I don't see victory. I see lies. I think we are being lied to. Don't try and cover up the fact that we funded the Taliban. Don't try and, you know, don't try and hide away from the fact that this was our fault. And now we must look after the people whose homes we've destroyed. Don't finish your dinner if you can't eat it. Don't make your dinner if you can't finish it. Right? And I mean that in a sense of don't go to war if you're not going to finish the war. But how can you finish war in Afghanistan? Because the Taliban will always exist. People will always have their ideologies. Just like how, for example, people say, oh, well, we destroyed ISIS, they're gone. Yeah, but the ideology is still there. Somebody will still think that way, and they will convert others to think that way. They will make them think that way. You can't remove a thought from someone's mind. No matter how many people you kill, there will always be a thought, and that thought will get passed on. So therefore, but as I was trying to say, we must look after the people of Afghanistan now. And for people that are coming over to this country, instead of just making them live on benefits and not giving them an opportunity to work, how about we solve the problems that we need to solve? Lorry drivers. We've got thousands of Afghan and also other illegal immigrants. Obviously, I think the Afghan refugees or immigration situation is, I don't know what the situation with that is. I don't think they actually need passports to come to the country. I think it's a different arrangement. But for anyone coming into the country, whether it be the Afghanistan situation or illegally, instead of locking them up in barracks or forcing them to use taxpayer money just to live, how about we offer them the right to work? How about we put them on HGV training courses, which are becoming easier as well, so that more people can come and drive lorries? The football kits that I have ordered for Attenborough Colts, affected by the amount of people driving lorries. They're a week late because of the fact that there's not many lorry drivers. The team that I coach, theirs were late because of the fact that there's not enough lorry drivers and people to deliver. So how about we use and we ask the people that have come to this country and say, right, we've got an offer for you. We'll put you on this training course, and it will cost money. There's no denying that. We've got this training course to become a HGV driver. Do you want to do it? If they say no, don't force them to do it. But if they say yes, we could have hundreds and if not thousands of people coming and working as HGV drivers. They will then make money, a good amount of money too, a very, very good sum of money. They will then pay taxes, more taxes because of the threshold that they'll be in. And they will pay for any healthcare they receive. They'll pay for any service that they receive, service or good that the UK provides, they will pay for that indirectly. But why are people against that? Oh yeah, but remember what we vote, what you voted for in 2016 on Brexit. And I do not have to be unbiased here because this is my podcast, right? I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. I'm going to be honest. What happened in 2016, I'll admit, I supported Leave. I was lied to. We were lied to. There was no 350 million a week for the NHS. There was none of it. Although I wasn't 100% sure on that. And that wasn't my main basis for voting. I thought that maybe outside trade would actually be more beneficial. And actually having emailed Liz Truss, the secretary for trading and stuff like that. We were promised better trades that were more beneficial. So it may be complicated to put refugees or illegal immigrants or whatever terminology you want to use into society. I say we tackle every hurdle and do it. Taxpaying individuals, hardworking individuals that want to make a living for their family and live in a safe environment, we should let them do that. We should let them do that. And in terms of the housing situation, this is another situation we're going to have to deal with. But we will deal with it. Maybe you could train some of these guys to be house builders or to be labourers. Or maybe you could put them, or maybe in a few years when they've been working and doing whatever they're doing in this country using the work permits we've given them, maybe they'll go and set up their own business. And who knows, maybe they might set up a building business and they might build houses for the many. They might build great, good quality houses in areas that need them the most. The most. We are missing out on thousands of people that have potential. They are wasting away in barracks. They are wasting away, and this is in inverted commas, they are taking all our money. Well, they don't have to, but it's the only choice they've got. So there's the lies. You're being fed. People are feeding you lies. Well, we're having these many people. You know, you go on GB News. Thankfully, I've never tuned into a whole episode of GB News. I've seen Nigel Farage's thing that he does there. Oh, well, we have this many immigrants coming in on boats today. Oh, how shocking is this? Everybody be shocked. Everybody be angry. He's rubbing his hands. He's getting paid. The more people he brings in with his extremist views, the more money he makes for the company. And then the company will say, oh, you want a bit more money? Keep going. Do a bit more for us. You're paying into that. Whatever they're saying about illegal immigrants and people coming into this country is infactual. They have no choice. It's time that we have a change and we actually vote people in. And I don't think it should be Labour or Conservative. We need to look at all the other parties. We don't want to become a Democrat versus Republican style, two-party style country. We need to look beyond the two parties. And you need to look at who's going to serve us best. And currently, I don't think it's any of the two major parties. Who I think, I don't know. But it's time things changed. And we got those that currently aren't able to work because of whatever rules we have against them, get them into work. They will solve our issues. And yes, we are out of the European Union, unfortunately, because you can see the effects it's having. But now we need to look at alternatives and how we're going to solve the problem. The more we moan and argue and be divided, the more time the government has to make excuses. So if everyone has their say, explains exactly what we need to do and actually fights for change. And also, maybe you don't have the same view as me on illegal immigrants and refugees or whatever terminology you want to use, as I say. But you can talk to me about anything similar to that. And maybe you don't agree with me, and I'll be more than happy to talk to you about why I believe what I believe. And my evidence for it. So there's the lies. Now the corruption. For years, politicians have been giving little favours to their friends. You know, David Cameron. So I don't know if you recall, but a few years ago, a guy called Dennis Skinner, called David Cameron, Dodgy Dave, and was ordered out of the Commons. He was told to leave, forced to go. He withdrew from Parliament, went, and people laughed, only to realise that Dodgy Dave name is very real and has a very real meaning. So I'm going to read a BBC News article out to you now about David Cameron personally promoting Greensill to investors. So the former Prime Minister David Cameron personally promoted Greensill Capital to investors before the controversial company collapsed. The collapse of Greensill in March has left the bank's clients facing billions of dollars in losses. Mr. Cameron said there was no wrongdoing in any of the actions he took. But people like Gavin Williamson told Radio 4, this was about a month ago, that David Cameron had been absolutely cleared of any wrongdoing by two independent investigations. Also, he added that he had made himself available to parliamentary scrutiny, which was the right thing to do. But after stepping down as Prime Minister, David Cameron worked for the company for about 2.5 years. And his role earned him around $10 million before he was taxed. $10 million, by the way. Okay, $10 million. So using his power as Prime Minister and also a former politician of the Conservative Party and also having many influential people in the Conservative Party, David Cameron used that position to get people, to get investors into his company. And in return, he'd make a load more money. Using your position, using your authority to get money. And now, although this technically wasn't illegal, as was said in my law class today, in my second law class since starting sixth form, although it may not be legally classed as a crime, it is a crime. And I would class David Cameron as a criminal. And although many people may argue that actually David Cameron isn't corrupt, I would call him corrupt. That's what he is. He's corrupt. David Cameron is corrupt. And throughout COVID, we've seen far more corruption. Your eyes are being exposed to, and your ears now, your eyes and ears are being exposed to the reality of what's really going on. What's really going on is you are being lied to and having the wool pulled over your lies because over your eyes, because you are fed by the biased media, the idea that, as we said earlier, corruption in Africa, corruption in China, wherever you want. You're always told about it, and it makes you forget what's actually going on at home. So maybe you're going to take away something from this podcast. Maybe you think everything I've just said is a complete load of rubbish. But maybe everything I've just said will open your eyes a bit more to what's actually going on in this country. I love the UK. It's my home. I'm proud of being British, very proud. But that does not mean I cannot criticise and also think and also want to bring down an establishment that is corrupt and using our money that we work hard for to pay those who are retired in terms of the billionaires that are sitting there now, retired, living off their investments that they made in the past. Why should we pay for them? Why should we? I would happily pay more tax just for the NHS, a separate NHS tax, if we had to. But the rich should have to too. And that is as simple as it is. Believe me, I'm by no means a big, you know, Labour supporter or a big socialist or nothing like that. Because you've heard my views on businesses and the way they should be taxed. But we should be taxed fairly and everybody should import. Everyone. Those that get the most out of society should put in the most. And that's my view on it. So there you go. That was a bit of my opinion on corruption and lies, and specifically in this country, with a few mentions of global corruption and lies. That was episode 64 there with me, Jay Martin. Very soon, you'll be pleased to know I've actually submitted my application to go on Nottingham Hospital Radio. And it has been accepted. So you'll be expecting to see me there very soon on Hospital Radio, on a talk show, hopefully. And that is basically what the plan is. So you're going to be hearing a lot more about me, especially if you're tuning into the radio. So I hope you all have a wonderful evening, morning, lunchtime, whatever you're doing. Maybe you're on the commute. Have a good day. But I really hope this has opened your eyes to something that I have a very strong passion about. And know a decent amount about, because it should open your eyes and it should make you concerned with what most people don't know. So thanks everybody for listening. It is the 9th of September 2021. This is episode 64 with me, Jay Martin, with the subtitle Corruption and Lies. Take care. Don't forget to share. Goodbye.